MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Late Show Poncho listeners can get 20% off on all Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise on ParamountShop.com. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show shirts, mugs, accessories, and more with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
Thanks. Please have a seat, everybody. You're very kind. Welcome to the Late Show. I'm your host, Stephen Colbert. Ladies and gentlemen, we are just, what are we now? Approximately 6 months away from the 2024 presidential election, which, if the campaign so far is any indication, is roughly 3 years from now. But before the general election officially kicks in, of course, Trump needs to pick a running mate, because his last one, for some reason, just didn't hang in there. One person who clearly wants this gig desperately is South Dakota governor and woman who told her hairstylist, "Give me the whole cast of Friends." Kristi Noem. Now, here's the thing about Noem. Noem revealed something fascinating in her soon-to-be-released memoir. And warning, if you like puppies, you're not gonna like Kristi Noem. Because in her new book, Noem admitted to killing her dog. Now, I know that sounds terrible. Look, I know it sounds terrible, but it's much worse. Because this wasn't some rabid 90-pound hellhound on a meth bender. It was a 14-month-old wire-haired pointer named Cricket. Yes, a puppy named Cricket. Reminds me of Stephen King's first draft of Cujo. Snuggles. And it is worth pointing out, no one made Noem confess to puppy snuffing. She volunteered this information, even saying, "I guess if I were a better politician, I wouldn't tell the story here." Oh, I don't know. I remember William Henry Harrison's famed slogan, "Tip a canoe and I beat a raccoon to death with my bare hands." So, why? Why did Cricket need to kick it? According to Noem, the problem was that Cricket was untrainable. Well, yeah, she was 14 months old. I can only imagine Kristi Noem with the dog trainer. So, Governor, we've evaluated Cricket, and we think we should kill her. No, I was thinking a special collar that would kill her slowly. Here's what happened. According to Noem, again, in a story, no one asked her to tell us. She claims that she brought Cricket on a pheasant hunt, but Cricket ruined the hunt, going out of her mind with excitement, chasing all those birds and having the time of her life. But who among us hasn't seen a dog running through the fields, not a care in the world, and thought, "You deserve to die." Stay hydrated, because there's a lot of these jokes coming. Cricket made the fatal mistake of continuing to be a normal puppy on the way home when, according to Noem, they stopped at a local family's farm where Cricket attacked the family's chickens. Governor Noem, if you don't like untrainable animals that wolf down chicken, I have bad news about your party's nominee. But Noem had Noem choice. Because if there's one thing no one should ever have to witness, it's the loss of man's best friend. A chicken. Because when you have a dead chicken, what could you possibly do with it? Rub it with olive oil? Maybe a sprig of thyme, some lemon, salt, pepper, herbs de Provence? Lightly cover in foil and roast for an hour at 425? What? Now, after Cricket killed the chickens, Noem writes, and I swear, this is all from her book, Cricket was, quote, the picture of pure joy, adding, "I hated that dog." Yeah. Okay, this book is starting to sound less like a political memoir and more like the scrawled manifesto of a guy whose neighbor said he just kind of kept to himself, you know? Something about that happy puppy clearly pushed Noem over the edge. She writes, "At that moment, I realized I had to put her down. So she got her gun and led crickets to a gravel pit. No! Bad psycho governor! No! Sit down! Bad! Stay! Stay away from dogs! By the way, the actual title of Noam's book where she tells this story is No Going Back. Better than her first drafts. Old Yeller 2, he had it coming. And all dogs go to gravel pit. But it did not stop there, because shooting the dog just reminded Noam that she had other animals that were shootable. According to her book, her family also owned a male goat, and Noam decided to kill the goat the same way she had just killed Cricket the dog. Oh, my God, what kind of reverse John Wick farm is she running out there? So, why did she decide to kill a second innocent animal? Noam writes that the goat was nasty and mean and smelled disgusting, musky, and rancid. So, a goat. That's what they're like. There's a reason no one ever comes up to you and goes, you smell like a goat. So just to recap, let me make sure if I got this right here. She killed a puppy for being untrained and a goat for smelling bad. That's just killing animals for being animals. That rooster crowed at dawn. That cat's licking his own butthole. You know what? That elephant never forgets. He's going to testify to the cops about how I killed these other animals. Now, Noam took this goat and, you guessed it, dragged him to a gravel pit. But that's where the dead dog is. We actually have footage of the goat's reaction on seeing the gravel pit. So then she shot the goat in the pit. And I don't want to get into semantics here, but if there's two dead animals in there, it's no longer a gravel pit. It's a dead animal pit featuring gravel. But Governor Noam says that, sad or not, this is all just part of farm life that any child can learn about from the classic CNC.
Please, I have a family. I'm begging you. My uncle has money.
Donald Trump's hush money trial took a break today to observe Passover, but a lot happened while we were on break last week. Specifically, there were unconfirmed allegations that Donald Trump was actually farting in the courtroom, and he was doing so while falling asleep. That's right, farting while falling asleep, or as I call it, multitasking. No, I do it a lot. No, I'm a great multitasker. I'm a great multitasker. Sometimes when I cough, I pee a little. And when I burp, I puke just a bit. Sorry, ladies. Sorry, ladies, I'm married. Not that it's ever mattered. Inside the courtroom, Trump's lawyers argued that the former president didn't pay off Stormy Daniels to help his election campaign, which would be illegal. He was merely fighting back to protect his family. The prosecution rebutted that claim with their key witness, former National Enquirer publisher and divorced Pringles man, David Pecker. Pecker testified about he used the National Enquirer to buy and then never publish unflattering stories about Trump, a practice known as catch and kill, which is also another early title of Christy Noem's book.
Wow.
Pecker. Pecker specifically testified that when it came to the payments, Trump's family was never mentioned. Instead, he explicitly and repeatedly said they had been trying to help Trump's election chances, acting as Trump's eyes and ears. I gotta say, if you're gonna act as any of Trump's body parts, eyes and ears probably the safest choice. Pecker explained after catching and killing a story about Trump having sex with Playboy playmate Karen McDougal, Pecker's lawyers warned him that it was potentially a crime and that Pecker may have already broken campaign finance law by paying McDougal, which, of course, asked the eternal question, if publisher Pecker paid a Playboy playmate, how many Playboy playmates did publisher Pecker pay? So,
whoa.
I don't think I got that right. Playboy, did I? Amidst. So when it came time to pay off Stormy Daniels, Pecker told Trump's lawyer Michael Cohen, I am not purchasing the story. I'm not going to be involved with a porn star. So instead, Michael Cohen paid $130,000 in hush money to Stormy Daniels himself, and Trump later repaid him with a series of checks. Of course, paying off a porn star in installments is technically called the getting laid away plan.
But you know, if you only knew what we all just went through to get to that joke. People.
But covering up for Trump's affairs was just the tip of the pecker. He used the National Enquirer to go after Trump's campaign rivals with headlines like, "It's over for pervy Ted. Cruz's five secret mistresses." That is shocking. Also completely unbelievable. If you're going to make up lies about Ted Cruz, keep them realistic, like, "Ted Cruz caught dumpster diving for new beard." We got a great show for you tonight.
Coming up, Gene Smart.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Now you can feel like you're in the audience at the Ed Sullivan Theater with official Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise at ParamountShop.com. Shop t-shirts, mugs, accessories, and more, and Late Show Poncho listeners can take 20% off with code TLS20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show products with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, my first guest tonight is an Emmy-winning actor you know from Mayor of Easttown, Fargo, and Designing Women. She now stars in Hacks.
Okay, you're insane. I mean, look at this.
I am. That's the problem.
It's gorgeous. I mean, the crinoline detailing alone.
Lady, I don't know what to tell you, okay? It's fugly ass. It's giving Big Bird.
Oh, my God. You know nothing about fashion. You dress like you're about to have lunch on a steel girder.
Hey, whatever. You can wear whatever you want.
Yeah, I know I can, and I will. You know, it's just sad that you're so wrong about this. I mean, everybody loves this dress. Damien, Marcus, my stylist, all of her assistants.
Everyone on your payroll.
Okay. All right, I'm going to prove you wrong. Hi. Could you please send up a bellhop? A gay one?
Oh, my God.
Please welcome Gene Smart. It's so lovely to have you on.
I've been a longtime fan. Thank you. Right back at you.
We've tried to do this before, but I got COVID at one point or something like that, and so we had to postpone. I'm very excited for Hacks Season 3.
Yeah.
And when does it start?
May 2nd.
May 2nd. Yeah, you ever have a storied career, Broadway, 5 Emmys, but I understand that you started off in more humble, homey conditions as an actress. How did you start your career?
I was always the family ham, and my older sister was an organizer, and so we would put on plays in the neighbor's garage, and we would sell popcorn and sell tickets.
What, in the neighbor's garage?
The next door neighbor's garage, yes.
Okay, why their garage and not your garage?
Their garage was bigger. I was like,
you want to play the biggest house
more
you can.
Seats. Yes.
So you actually did you charge for the popcorn?
Oh yes. Oh,
how
God,
much?
Yes.
Did you charge for the tickets?
Oh God, yes.
Oh wow. So you never worked for free. Yeah, you're always a pro.
No, we're Scottish. It's like, that's right, lassie.
How much would you charge? Do you remember?
Oh, gosh, it was probably 25 cents or something. I don't know. My sister was in charge of all that.
Would you do originals or were you doing classics?
Streetcar.
Streetcar in a garage. There
12
you go.
Angry Men. No, it was...
Your one-woman show of 12 Angry Men?
Exactly. You know what? There was something, it's a weird little one act about Cinderella or something. That's all I remember.
Who was the audience? Was it the neighborhood kids or other parents?
And the parents, yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, and then we would put on, it was great. This was before cell phones and Game Boys. We would put on parades. I don't know how we talked the boys into doing all this stuff. I was a bride in one parade. It was like, my sister, yes, I had a veil. I was pulled in a wagon.
So instead of Santa Claus at the end of the parade, the bride came at the end of the parade.
Yes, and then, you know, I wanted to marry Bobby Sawyer, but he wanted to be the minister, so I married Billy Ferguson.
Wow, where are those guys now? Not here.
Seattle.
Was that where you grew up, Seattle?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You star, as I said before, in the series Hacks. This season, your character, Deborah Vance, is vying for possibly getting a position as the host of a late night show.
Yes.
Do I have that correct?
Yours, actually.
My show?
No.
That's fine. I could use a break.
I'm sorry. But,
so what did you do any ride-alongs? What have you learned about the gig in doing this part?
No, I haven't done any ride-alongs, but I love watching late night shows and, you know, guests, you always expect guests to come with something. It's a mug or a good story or a, you know, something.
If the guests bring their own mug, I'm pretty insulted.
Okay. No, but I actually have brought you a treat.
You brought me something?
I brought you a treat.
Very few people bring me presents.
Well, it's not a treat. It's
What'd you bring
not
me?
Edible. I'm going to the first time ever do impressions on national television on your show.
Wow. It's always nice. It's always nice when the guest has a bit.
Yeah, or something.
It is.
Yeah.
A bit. I didn't know you did impressions.
Well, I mean, can you say you do impressions if you only do two? I only do two.
Yes, that's impressions. That's plural.
Well.
Who are your...
Isn't that like saying you're a cook and you only make, like, spaghetti and toast or something?
Depends on how good the spaghetti is.
I do Dame Maggie Smith.
Oh.
And Woody Woodpecker. I have a wide array.
I was going to say, that's really good. You're on the gamut. So,
yes.
Which one do you want to do first?
Oh, God, why did I say this?
Because you're a wonderful
guest. Dame Maggie Smith from Downton Abbey.
Okay.
Oh, God, I'm going to blow this. Okay. I've never insulted anyone. I've merely described them accurately.
Now, bring it home. Bring it home with Woody Woodpecker.
I do this sometimes on the set. I have done it on the set to wake everybody up like at 1 a.m. or something. Okay.
Mm. Okay, so everybody's just trying to get the lighting right
and
touching people up.
Yeah. That one was not good. I have better ones. Okay.
That is half funny and half terrifying. That's what you don't want to hear from the dark figure hunched over your bed in the middle of the night. We have to take a quick break, but don't go away. We'll be right back with more Jean Smart, everybody. We're back, star of Hacks. It's Jean Smart, everybody. Now then... Your co-star in Hacks is the lovely and talented Hannah Einbinder.
Love her.
Who's just lovely. She actually made her late night debut right over here on the stage.
That is the first time I ever saw her.
Oh, you saw her there.
It was like the night before I was going to meet her and audition with her.
Yeah.
I Googled her and watched her on your show.
Yeah, she did a set here. She was great.
She was amazing.
Yeah.
And then I said, this is the girl. She's got to be the one.
So wait a second.
So.
She was on my show and you saw her. Don't you think...
Oh,
we should get a little back end.
My Scottish.
A little something, you know?
My Scottish grandmother's on my shoulder.
You know, absolutely.
The 5% age.
Exactly.
You know, 5 and 5.
Just okay. Daddy should get his beak wet is all I'm saying. On this one. That's the Scottish phrase, isn't it? Get your beak wet. You're always slinging insults at each other.
Oh, yes.
Do you enjoy the playful confrontation between the characters?
Oh, I do. And we do it off stage too. I'm always texting her rude, awful things. And
HR knows nothing about this.
No, abusing her is part of the fun of the job.
Sure, sure. It's backstory.
Yeah.
Okay. I understand you had to get physical with her at one point.
Oh, yeah. That was hard because it was season one. Now it'd be easy. I had to slap her.
You had to slap her.
I had to slap her
in season one.
And I've never slapped anybody in the face. So that was really upsetting. And she's so dear. And of course, I only made it worse by having to slap her 27 times because I couldn't get it right.
Oh, because
I was
trying. You're holding
I was
back.
Like, yeah, I was like, she had tears in her eyes. She finally going, Gene, just hit me. She was like, bam, you know. Yeah.
Do you want more practice?
Can I hit you?
Yeah, sure.
No! No!
What?
I'm not gonna hit you.
What? Okay.
Seriously? Okay. I can't hit you.
Well, do you know this one where you hit here?
Oh, yeah.
Just hit my...
Okay, I have nails.
Okay. Make sure you hit my... Oh!
You can start with me.
Your character is...
This mine or yours?
That's yours. Mine's over here. Okay. Mine's hot. Your character's a stand-up. Did you ever do stand-up?
No.
Me either.
Too scary.
Me either. Yeah, I admire the people who do that,
too
but
scary.
I never did. Do you enjoy pretending?
Oh, it's my favorite part of the show. Yeah. And we always have these wonderful extras who are paid to laugh, so it's fantastic.
Yeah.
I have absolutely...
Just like these people, paid to laugh.
All the fun, none of the risk.
You have a lovely laugh.
Oh, thank you.
You have a lovely laugh. Do you get that often?
Well, I don't know if it's lovely. It's sort of like Woody Woodpecker, but yes.
Clear. It would stand out in a crowd. That's what I like.
Oh, no. Well, my darling late husband, when I met him, he was doing a play. And so he invited me to come and see the play. And it was a terrible romantic comedy, but he was very, very good in it. And I went a few times. And when I would laugh, it kind of got the audience going. So his producer came to me and said that I had to come every time there was a critic. So I went about 7 more times.
No, I know the feeling. There's a seat out there, E1, in the audience. And that's for Evie. My wife, that's her seat.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
So I can see her. It's where I can see her
every so cool.
whenever she's here.
And she still thinks you're funny.
She does.
How many years has it been?
Thinks I'm funny.
Wow.
The drugs are working.
That is
exactly.
Amazing.
Edibles are amazing.
Oh my God.
As a stage actress, you know, one of the things about film is that you can break and you can recover.
Yeah.
But as a stage, you can't. That's it. What you do that night is what the audience gets. What's the hardest you've broken?
Yeah, that's
because I'm ashamed.
Scary.
I try to be professional, but I've broken hard.
That's
several times.
It's scary, but I mean, actually the only time I've gone up on stage where I just didn't remember my line is the only time I was with another actor and all of a sudden I just stopped in the middle of this speech and I thought. Your adrenaline goes in such a rush. You think,
sure.
I can't tell you the name of the play or the plot or anything. But I did know that the kitchen was offstage left, and my character always had a drink in her hand. So I thought, I'll just tell him that I'm going to go freshen my drink and refill it. And the stage manager is there on the script. And I'll just walk in, I'll go back out on stage. So I go offstage. I'm going, I'm just going to get another drink. And I go offstage, and the stage manager is playing solitaire on his laptop. And he's not anywhere near the scene. And this people are like, ah, 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 ah. My life flashed before my eyes.
Yeah. You ever fallen asleep on stage?
No, but I know actors who have.
Yeah, I did
once. Who had to play dead. Were you playing dead?
No, it was the second act. It was the second act of the show.
Dead.
I wasn't playing dead. No, it was the second act of the show. And it starts in darkness, and the lights would come up very, 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 very slowly with a very soft music playing because it was supposed to be dawn. So the lights coming up. And we had just done the play in Vienna for 10 days,
and come back to Chicago, and I had jet lag. In my mind, it was like 4 o'clock in the morning, so the lights came up on the second act, and I was sitting in the middle of the stage, and I was supposed to start doing this monologue, but as dawn came, and the lights came up, and they just went back down again.
Oh, my God. Did somebody kick you?
Yeah. Gina, so lovely to have
you
here. Thank you very much for being here. Season 3 of Hacks premieres Thursday on Max. It's Gene Smart, everybody.
Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to The Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.